KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly cloudy skies, 43 degrees in Atlantic. Rain has ended here in Atlantic and has moved off to our east. The line of showers, the trailing edge of that stretches from about Charles City down through Ames, down to Greenfield, Creston, and then down to the southwest corner between Bedford and Clarinda, and that is pushing off to the east. Skies will be partly cloudy today with a high of 48. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Creston police report four arrests took place over the past few days. Sunday evening, 23-year-old Spencer Fisk of Creston was arrested at his home on a charge of aggravated assault. Fisk was being held in the Union County Jail on a $2,000 bond. Friday night, 37-year-old Sean Garrison of Creston was arrested at his home and charged with disorderly conduct. He was later released on a $300 bond. Also arrested Friday night was 60-year-old Sherry Harris of Creston, who was charged with theft in the fifth degree. She also was released on a $300 bond. Early Friday morning, 56-year-old Ronald Brammer of Afton was arrested in Creston for driving while barred, and he was later released on a $2,000 bond. In state news, authorities say a kayaker has died after being pulled from the Des Moines River in south central Iowa. The man was one of two kayakers who capsized late Saturday morning near Red Rock Dam, southwest of Pella. The Marion County Sheriff's Office said 61-year-old Timothy Chicoine was pronounced dead later at the Pella Regional Hospital. Chicoine lived in Des Moines. The other kayaker was treated at the hospital and released. He was identified as 56-year-old Kevin Beatty of Tracy. An eastern Iowa firefighter died and another was injured Saturday while battling a blaze at the Archer Daniel Midland's Clinton facility. Officials of the Clinton Fire Department report 33-year-old Eric Hossett died Saturday morning while trying to extinguish the fire in Clinton. Hossett was with the fire department for 12 years and was promoted to lieutenant in 2017. Another firefighter, Adam Kane, was injured during the incident. He was listed in critical but stable condition in Iowa City. The cause of the fire and subsequent explosion remained under investigation. According to reports, ADM employees discovered smoldering material just before 6 a.m. Saturday in one of the silo storage bins at the loading facility before an explosion occurred. Well, state regulators have fined the Prairie Meadows Racetrack and Casino in Altoona for allowing an underage person into the facility. Racing and Gaming Administrator Brian Orilko says the violation happened in July.
Prairie Meadows had an underage female entered the facility with an adult companion. As she entered the floor unchallenged by security, was on the floor for 3 hours, did gamble at a craps table, and consumed an alcoholic beverage that was provided to her.
He says the casino revealed the issue after discovering the girl.
It was self-reported by Prairie Meadows, and Prairie Meadows agreed to pay an administrative penalty of $20,000.
That was the second violation of that same type for the Altoona facility in the last 365 days. Orilko says the operators are doing what they can to prevent any more violations.
They'll be working hard, and they always have. They reported to the commission the various steps that they have taken to prevent this kind of activity. And so I think we're comfortable at least with the steps they've taken at this point in time.
And the Racing and Gaming Commission approved the fine during their meeting on Friday. Iowa farmers will not be seeing some USDA crop reports that would normally be released at this time of year. USDA Chief Economist Rob Johansson says the reports that were set to be released January 11th will be delayed because of the partial government shutdown.
They do take some time to put together and complete the analysis and compile those reports, and so we need to have our staff in the office in order to do that.
The delayed documents include the monthly world agricultural supply and demand estimates, crop production reports, grain stocks, and rice stocks. According to Johansson, it will take about a week to release the reports once funding resumes.
The analysts and NASS and the World Board folks will get together as quickly as possible once we can get back in the office and make sure that we try and get those reports out as quickly as possible.
This holdup is different than the delay in 2013 where USDA report data was missing. Johansson told Brownfield Ag News that this was not the case this time and the reports will be released as soon as possible. Iowa farmers who are interested in growing hemp won't be able to get the ball rolling until the partial federal government shutdown ends. President Trump signed the Farm Bill into law last month, which included the Hemp Farming Act. It removed the plant from the Controlled Substances Act and made it legal to grow the plant. Stuart Titus, president and CEO of Medical Marijuana Incorporated, says the legalization of industrial hemp for Iowa's farmers holds much promise.
I'm very excited about hemp being a rival for corn, wheat, soybeans, certainly a hemp futures market. should develop very soon in the Chicago Board of Trade.
Farmers who want to grow hemp have to first fill out some paperwork for the USDA and pass an FBI background check, both of which are on hold due to the government shutdown. Still, Titus predicts the versatile hemp plant will quickly become a popular crop in Iowa.
I believe a lot of farmers are very interested to help fallow lands or use hemp as a rotational crop. It really seems to add nutrients back to the soil. And certainly with the number of industrial uses, a farmer can get, two or three or even four potential income streams from one crop.
Hemp can be used in all sorts of products, from clothing to rope and from paper to building materials. The crop may be a favorable option for many farmers who have experienced losses in recent months due to poor commodity prices and trade issues. Titus notes it's very unfortunate potential hemp growers in Iowa can't immediately pursue the practice as plans need to be made for the planting season.
With the shutdown of the government, this is not exactly helping matters for the farmers, but hopefully this will just be a very quick little temporary glitch in the road and back to standard practices before too long here.
When the Iowa legislative session opens next week, lawmakers may consider new regulations on hemp production. Hemp does not contain THC, the chemical in marijuana that causes a high, however. Hemp can be used to make cannabis oil or CBD, which is used to treat several medical conditions. Current Iowa law only allows for CBD to be made by state-licensed producers and not through industrial hemp. In political news this weekend, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren made her first trip to Iowa in the exploratory phase of her presidential campaign, emphasizing an economic platform she says will revive the middle class. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Warren drew overflow crowds in Council Bluffs, Sioux City, Storm Lake, and Central Iowa.
So the bad news is I've caught a cold. The good news is, nevertheless, I persist.
That's a reference to the way the Senate's Republican leader characterized Warren's objections to President Trump's first attorney general. During an interview with Radio Iowa Sunday, Warren said it was time to end the war in Afghanistan, create a new public health insurance option, and raise the minimum wage. Warren said all the Democratic candidates should build grassroots presidential campaigns that rely on small-dollar donors, including billionaires Michael Bloomberg and Tom Steyer, who could write big checks to their own campaigns.
This is about revitalizing democracy, about making it work, not just for the rich and the powerful, making it work for all of us.
Midday Sunday, Warren made an unannounced visit to a Des Moines coffee shop that's a frequent stop for presidential candidates. Emily Shields, who was eating breakfast at the Smoky Row Coffee Company, says Warren is off to an impressive start that may influence others pondering a presidential run.
I think people are probably thinking they need to make a decision sooner rather than later because she's getting the party started.
The 2020 Iowa caucuses are 392 days away. I'm O.K. Henderson.
And a Trump supporter from Minnesota is accused of disrupting a campaign event in Storm Lake for 2020 Democratic presidential hopeful Elizabeth Warren. Police say they were providing security for the Massachusetts senator Saturday when 58-year-old Randall Tom of Lakeview, Minnesota, became vocal, aggressive, and tried to assault people in the crowd. Tom was reportedly trying to confront Warren about the government shutdown outside and unfurled a banner that said, "Keep America Great." Officers say he tried to hit a Warren supporter with a banner and was taken into custody. Tom was arrested for disorderly conduct and booked into the jail. And three Iowa Democrats serving in the Iowa House took their first votes in the 116th Congress, joining with other Democrats in passing legislation that would end the partial government shutdown. Third District Congresswoman Cindy Axney, a Democrat from West Des Moines, said she supports the enhanced border security but is opposed to President Trump's demand for money to complete a wall along the southern border.
The wall has not been proven to be something that's going to be either fiscally responsible or effective.
Axney, along with Congresswoman Abby Finkenauer of Dubuque, the Democrat representing Iowa's 1st District, are among 102 women recently elected to the House. Both voted to return Nancy Pelosi to the Speaker's chair.
She is really somebody who understands that our democracy has to always be held sacred and that every single voter in this country's voice is heard. And she stands by those philosophies and those values.
Dave Loebsack of Iowa City, the other Democrat representing Iowa in Congress, says the partial government shutdown is unacceptable, particularly when the USDA, which he says has nothing to do with securing the border, is closed and farm payments aren't being processed. Steve King of Chiron, the only Republican who remains in Iowa's House delegation, announced Friday that he will hold a town hall meeting in each of the 4th congressional districts Thursday. 39 counties this year. King said last year the town hall meetings had become forums for paid protesters, and he had stopped scheduling them. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.